Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us, we have a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can dial on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk's website at www.talkshoe.com. And the call ID is 17702. Or if you want to, you can actually join us on the YouTube live stream. Unfortunately, not when it comes to chatting, most people don't show up there. They go over to TalkShoe. I apologize. We might change that in the near future, but you can go there. The feed, it's posted on the weekly feed is posted on the discussion board and Twitter. And, of course, Facebook. There is actually a Facebook page for SFU On Call. So if you want to follow me there, you can follow me there. If you don't, that's fine, too. There is a webpage called SFUOnCall.com where you actually can find this website. And if you need to contact me for any reason, just send me an email at sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can reach me via Skype. My Skype ID is Franz Games, FranzGames. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter, as I just mentioned. I have my podcast account, which is sfuoncall. I have my personal account, which is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. And, of course, I have my business account, which is Franz Games. Yes, I have lots of Twitter accounts. And, of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net, including SFUOnCall.com. Some quick news from ADB this week. Steve was busy working on Capsule number 53 before his surgery, which happened on Monday. That includes the final approval for a long-hunted fiction story, which is awesome to see. Worked on Shapeways, and he completed his report on the B-draft of the Merchants of Federation, which is awesome to see, and sent it off to Jay. Steve also went to a Boy Scout Troop 87, where he spent 90 minutes answering questions about the game industry for their game design merit badge. Actually, Steve was a Boy Scout for 50 years, and it was especially a very special evening for him. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates, the Grand Master Starship book, and also reported on the B draft of Merchants of the Federation. I can't wait to see that game. Gene was busy working on GURPS Prime Directive Revision. Yay! And also did a report on B-draft of the Merchants of the Federation. So obviously got all the reports in. Moving on to the SFB Online tournaments. Of course, we have the Masters Tournament. Not much happening there, except for I got my game not quite completed. I'm down to like one or two more turns. At least that's the way I see it. Me and my dear opponent have been fighting it out. We got all the way to the end of turn 8. And I figure it's going to take at least one or maybe two turns to go. We've been blasting each other. It's incredible. We'll be talking more about that during the podcast. Also, Rad 48, only one game still complete on round 3. Nothing much happening there. I think I'm going to send out an email to all of the people and go what's going on that. Moving onward to the library report for this week, there has been more progress. We have 4 more Paladine converted. So the complete conversion is 2,434, yet to be converted is down to 891. And that means the percentage complete has gone up to 73.2%. So it's good to see progress. Good to see that I was still in shock, but not really in shock, but I'm really happy to see that Steve Cole actually was able to send us some background images for the work on the Paladine so that we can actually get moving on those and get those converted, which is always good to see. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight you have me, you have Dave, you have Rush, and I'm hoping that they can hear me at this point because of I have been having technical difficulties. Chrome has been weird. I'm not sure if I pressed something or whatever, but it crashed and then, whatever. It was a nightmare getting things started tonight, okay? That's all that needs to be said. So, this evening, however long or short it will be. And tonight we're going to be talking about tactics. Yes, tactics. SFP tactics. What a good idea. No. Well, to say the very least, this Tuesday was eventful. I actually got to play more of my game. Finally, it's took us a month to get back to it, and that's not Mike's fault. Partly it's his fault because he went on vacation. Come on, why? You could have been playing SFP online. You didn't have to go on vacation. Hey, of course, the vacation was from the sounds like. He was in Europe, at the very least England. I'm not sure if he actually made it to like France or Italy or other places in the European continent. But he was in that area because I know he got caught up in the whole Gatwick situation. But anyhow, and part of the other one was after the New Year's, it was me. So we're both to blame when it comes to delaying the game. But I finally got all the way through to turn 8, impulse 32. So yes, we have completed 8 turns. Oy, what a game. I was fortunate enough that I did not get completely bollocksed. And where... The thing is, if I was just a little bit luckier, I would this game would have been done. Well, okay. So my opponent was not as lucky because he did something which it's a rare thing to do, which is to protect his shield, have it so that he could turn around and not have to worry about having a down shield facing me. What he did was he did a second hit. Fortunately, he rolled a 3 and he survived. So, to say the very least, that was a very gutsy move. Be honest about that move. I'm not sure if it was tactically sound or not. I mean, he had a 2/3 chance of success. Okay, so it's better than 50-50, which is good, but at the same time, it gives you a 1/3. Yeah, agreed, Russ. Very Kirk-like gamble. It's a 1/3 chance that you could totally bollocks the whole thing up, and you are dead. I mean, dead. Because at that point, he would have to take some more internals. He would be more than just screwed up in that way. So he'd be stuck. Okay, he'd be assuming that he didn't roll for when he rolled for tumbling, he did not tumble. If that means he would be stuck there, he lose some more. I think you lose like 10% of your warp power, and you also get 2 more internals. And then after that, then he'd be stuck dead. Now, here's the thing. I had 2 fully armed S-torpedoes. So assuming which position, depending upon which position he actually was facing, he really could have, I could have gotten on a down shield, got 60 points on a down shield. And if I got 60 points on a down shield, there's no ship left. As it stands, he... was fortunate in that he got what he did was, in my mind, a very gutsy move. Because what happened, here's what I did. okay, we're all running around. He's trying to get to me. He's not able to really get any damage on my ship. No. I'm running around. He runs around. We're both trying to keep our good shields facing each other. I repair my one down shield number six. It's down, so I repaired that one. No problem. Got it done. He knocks it down again. Got some more internals later on, but can't avoid that. But what his gutsy move was, okay, after he did this, had to turn around to go towards me, because what happened is that I chased him. I got him in the corner with two fully charged plasma torpedoes. And since I had him cornered, I was like, okay, I can launch my plasma torpedoes. Now, here's the one thing that I took a chance. The chance I took in this game myself was I guessed that he was going to, the plasma torpedo. Well, at the moment, okay, one thing you guys should know, I'm not sure if I've mentioned this in the podcast before, but he launched all four shuttles. All four shuttles are sitting out there. He has no wild weasels. So he has to run. If he doesn't run, he's dead. Okay? So that makes it really easy for me to a certain degree. I don't have to worry about him actually trying to wild weasel my plasmas, you know, stop and spin. Because if he sits and spins, he's in deep trouble, because with my plasmas, they come in, he dies. Now, so I get him cornered. I'm up. I'm near the side of the left, right hand side of the board. I am behind, so I'm near the middle of the board. So I've been waiting for him to do one of two things. I was either turn away from me, because he was coming around down the bottom. So he comes around down the bottom. I figure he's got two choices. He either can turn towards me, because if he turns towards me, he's fine. He's absolutely fine. Why is he fine? It's because at that point, he, has, you know, his good shield will be facing me, which is good for him. But of course, then also he's getting closer to me. But okay, so what I do is I launch my plasmas. And after I launch my plasmas, he decides, oh, he's running away. Now, realize that he's not going that fast. He's going speed, if I recall correctly, he was going like speed 14 at that point. 14 or 15, I think it might have been 15. But basically, he's going relatively slow. And I figured he's going slow because he's got overloaded disruptors all set to hit me. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. He actually had fully overloaded photon disruptors and he hit me. He got some internals, but he didn't get on my down shield, so, because he got on my number two shield. So right now I'm pretty bad. I've got, if I recall correctly, half my shields are gone. So it makes things kind of interesting for me to fight, especially when all my weapons face forward. Unlike him, who has some forward extended disruptor still left. No, has one. Right now, at this point, he has one forward disruptor left. But this was before that. He had three disruptors. But anyhow, I launched two Plasma S. Well, the thing is, what I did is I launched two fakes, two pseudos, because I had not used them yet. So he decides to go running into the corner and then run, and then blast him with his phaser G. Yeah, both of them. I think he used both his phaser Gs. Yeah, he used both his phaser Gs on the plasmas, on the plasmas. And it hits him, and they're both fake, and it's like, oh, crap. So instead of turning, because he's running out of room. So he has a choice. He either can turn up towards me or turn down towards the bottom of the map, and then that would make his down shields, with our shield number 2 and 3, facing me. If he did that, so in that case, so he decided he was going to het. Now here's the time that if he hets and he fails at this point, he will absolutely and utterly die. You know, he's gone. He's toast. But he still takes the maneuver. He still goes and hets. So it's like, okay, he headed. That makes it very interesting. Because then he finds out after he hits, because it doesn't hit him until after he hits, because he wanted to make sure that the plasma, I think he wanted to make sure the plasma hit him on shield number 5. Hit, because shield number 5 was full of strength versus shield number 4, which had a few boxes knocked off. I think maybe 2 or 4, I forget which. Not that many. But, you know, so it hits him. So he does that. So after he does that, then it hits him. He finds out, oh, they're pseudos. It's like after that, then I decided, okay, I'm gonna launch my real ones. I launch my real ones. They come towards him, and then he decides to do something kind of interesting in my mind, and I understand it. Which is, he turns into the wall. Because here's the thing. If it doesn't turn into the wall, what's going to happen is that the plasma torpedoes will be hitting him. They will hit his shield number 1, which is down to around 8 boxes. Maybe. I think around 8 boxes. I think he repaired it up to 8. And he would be dead, you know. So he turns in, takes the hit on shield number 1. So he takes 5 boxes off of shield number 1 and stops. And I get it so that, you know, the plasmas hit his shield number 6. Boom, blasted. He takes 60 points of damage. And gets like 39 internals. So it's like, yay. And then I come in behind them. And I get it just right. So that. But anyhow. Yeah. So he hit into that. Okay. Then I was able to. Since I was facing. Direction B, that's weird. Okay, it should be okay now. Okay, well, I'm not sure I can do anything about that, guys. But anyhow, I'm gonna continue on anyway. You can try to refresh talk to you, because the thing is, I got dropped. The phone call got dropped. I'm not sure why. But anyhow, with that, you know, since I was facing direction B, I could actually get in behind him. I got it so that I was moving forward right on the shield line. And because I was on the shield line, I got it so that I could actually hit his shield number 6 and actually do some more internals. So that left him at all said and done. He's got, I think, 3 phaser 1s, 2 phaser Gs, and a disruptor. So, of course, he's saving those phaser Gs because he knows that about, I'm not sure what I can do because everything is good at the moment. I'm going to continue on. Just listen on the YouTube section. And I apologize to anyone else who's calling into the talk show. According to this. An error occurred. Yeah. We're having all kinds of problems tonight. No. And according to this, it's saying that another guy is no. No, okay, it says I'm unmuted, so weird. Okay. Yes. And what do you have to say about
Hey, Paul.
Hey. Hey, Barry.
Just thought I'd drop by and let everybody know I'm not dead.
Ah, that's good. That's good to know.
Well, Gene could probably keep my death a secret for months and none of you would know. All she'd have to do is say something insulting on the bulletin board every week and people would go, yeah, that's Steve.
So it sounds like your surgery went well.
They said it did. I'm not a surgeon. I wouldn't know, but after it was all over, he came in and said, we got everything done. I'm going, you mean there was a chance you would have had to do this twice? He says, yeah, but we didn't have to. We got it all done on the first try. And I'm going, okay, that's good. And it, I went in Monday morning. They had surgery from about 10 to about noon. I woke up probably 1:30-ish or something like that. It was groggy. Got me to a room probably at 2, woke me up again. Leanna was there, and it hurt. It hurt a lot. And I said, God, nobody told me it was going to hurt like this. And they were all, well, if we had, you wouldn't have done it. And but the Panhandle Weight Loss Center is a great bunch of people, great bunch of doctors, great bunch of nurses. I had two top-notch surgeons working on me. Either one of them could hold everything all by himself, but they worked together as a team. They did it with the instead of having to gut me like a fish, they just poked 5 little holes. Mm-hmm. And had a robot stick his hands in.
Right.
Which sounds crazier than it is. And all of a sudden, my whole eating system is totally different. I have not been hungry since it happened because they took out the nerves that tell you when you're hungry.
Wow.
But I'm, I had lost, I don't know how many pounds, from 376 down to 340, just on diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. And now they tell me, give me 6 months and I'll lose another 100 pounds. I have been to the support group and talked to people who had the surgery a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and there were two different women who had exactly the same surgery I had, and they both said they lost 150 pounds and gained a husband. And so I've already got the wife under control, but I get to keep her happy.
Because you're alive.
But I just have felt, so crappy for the last several years. You know, when they took the cancerous kidney out in November 15, it just took a lot out of me. And then the whole thing I had with that cyst, that just kept me sick for a year. And then that came out a year ago, or 14, 15 months ago. But I was still never going to get better until I lost 150 pounds. Mm-hmm. And now I feel tremendous energy, and I've been up walking around the house all day. I'm doing just about as good on my Fitbit today as I was the day before the surgery. It's sore, make no mistake, I would not say punch me in the stomach, see what happens. Because I would probably fold up like a house of cards. It was really, really, it's really sore. But it's not pains per se. It's just soreness. It just feels like I did 1,000 sit-ups, which I probably couldn't do one before, but that's what it felt like. But I just thought it would be cool. I happened to be scanning the bulletin board, and I saw your thing, and I thought, well, I haven't talked to Paul in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought I would drop by and tell everybody, no, Gene's not pulling a scam on you. I'm actually alive. and the current theory is I'll be back to work at least a couple hours a day next week. Probably be back to full-time in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get some stuff done. And Jean was telling me today that she had done 7 pages of the GURPS revision that she's been working on forever.
Right, Prime Directive. Yeah, I've been seeing that.
Patrick told me that the Gorn Master Starship book is done if I'll just do the art.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, about half the art has already been done. It cool. probably would take me... I don't even know how to estimate it. Maybe 20 hours of work, maybe 30 to do all the rest of the art for the Gorn book. We've got a bang-up story for Captain's Log 53, so that's back on track the way mm-hmm. it was supposed to be. Finishing Call to Arms 2 is... I don't know, probably an entire week of work, but I don't get to spend an entire week on any one project.
Right.
But that should be something that we can get a grip on. We're just going to have to see how fast I can ramp back up work. I know Monday the doctor said, well, I'll allow you to go in, but you're only allowed to work 2 hours. And after that, you have to go back in that storage room and get in that recliner and wait till your wife takes you home. He doesn't want me overstressing things. He doesn't right. want me breaking anything he tied together.
Right.
And, of course, it's, you know, I have to eat liquid diet for a couple of weeks because, you know, they cut my stomach apart and put it back together. So
right.
I can't, you know, go eat. You know, nachos or anything right now. I might actually be able to get a burrito down without killing myself, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Any yeah. event, I really don't want to take over your thing. I know you had a good tacky suggestion going on. I listened for a while, and definitely, if you can pull off the pseudo trick, that's what they're there for. And that's why they were added to the game. I know when I did my presentation to the Boy Scouts a week ago, I told them when you design a game, you've got to have something to get you back. You know, that's why there's a nullo in spades, because if there wasn't, anybody who got 100 points behind would just say, screw this, I'm not playing anymore.
Right.
But you've always got a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm. Got to have the hope.
And, you know, so I don't want to take any questions because we'll be here all night and you need to get back to what you were doing. You were having a good time. I just wanted to come in and say thank you to everybody who posted good wishes on the bulletin board. It really made a difference to know that there were actually people who cared. And I thank you all for your positive energy and support. And I'll pay you back with a couple of new products here in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys go back to your tactics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one comment on product. One thing
okay.
got me excited was I saw Merchants of the Federation. That's
okay,
all.
Let me tell you what's going on with that because I don't want you to get too excited.
Okay.
You know, Jay Wasak came to me with that thing years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, Jay, I've never even seen a train game. I don't know, have any idea what they are. And he said, well, we'll go see him at Origins. So we went over at Origins, and I looked at him, and I said, okay, Jay, I'm not printing your game. It's too expensive. These people, if I went to them with ADB production, they would laugh me out of the game industry. They want mounted boards. They want plastic toys. They want decks of cards. Those are all incredibly expensive things. And I'm not going to take a flyer in a whole new industry where I've never had any kind of reputation when I'm spending the kind of money it would take me to print four or five regular products. So never mind. You know, Sorry, it just isn't going to happen.
Right.
And he came to me a few months ago, about two, three months ago, and he said, well, what would you think if we just put it together as a playtest pack on PDF? And, you know, if 100 people buy it, maybe it's worth running a Kickstarter. If five people buy it, then maybe you're right and there's no market for it. So that's what we're doing. We're doing a PDF playtest pack. We're not doing the deck of cards, plastic starships, mounted board thing. But we are going to let people see the game engine. And if people think, now, you know, the thing, everybody who's ever asked me, do you want to play a train game? My response is, if I can't blow up the train when it's crossing the bridge, I don't care. you know, I'm not interested in a trading game. It's economics was not my strong suit. In college, engineering economics, trying to figure out if a bridge today is better than a dam tomorrow. No, that's just not what I want to do with my game design skills. But I know there are people who play such things. The thing is, they've never heard of me.
Right.
You know, you go into science fiction gaming, you go into war gaming, and you say, anybody know Steve Cole? All the hands are going to go up because most of them are my ex-customers. But you go into the train game area, and you say, how many of you know who Steve Cole is? They're going to say, is he that guy who writes for Doctor Who? Because they've never heard of Starfleet Battles. They've never heard of me. They don't have a clue what I'm doing. And we'll just see. And, of course, Jay hasn't, you know, it's not like Jay's published Starfleet Battles or anything like it. But we're going to find out. We're going to stick it on the board, and we'll look at it 6 months or a year down the road. And if he's sold a whole bunch of copies, then maybe we got something. You know, I can read his thing and say, I don't understand how these two rules work together, but I'm not a train game guy. I know, like all of the stuff Jay has done for me, I've had to say, now, Jay, in order to fit my license, you got to change this to this. And he's been really gracious about doing that, and I think it's going to make his game a little more fun. You know, his game had a Klingon starbase in one corner, but didn't really have any particular reason to go there or whatever. So I've had him add some stuff where you can actually go and trade with the Klingons until they get tired of trading with you and decide to steal your spaceship. But you know, hey, that's why there's so much profit dealing with the Klingons, because if they weren't giving you that much profit, nobody would take the risk.
Agreed.
So we'll see how it goes. But it's it has been an interesting game to read and to work on. I know we've gone through the A draft and the B draft. It's a heck of a lot better now than it was 2 weeks ago. He is supposed to get me the C draft a week from tomorrow. And I'm going to sit down and read it and scribble on it and give it to Gene and Patrick, and then they can send him a report. And then maybe the D draft will be the one that goes on the PDF stores. Because it is, you know, you've always got to expand into new markets, but it's kind of hard to do that when it costs $50,000 to print the game and you've never done a game in that market.
Right.
I can remember a million years ago, I did a newsletter about dinosaurs, and I made one tiny, itty-bitty little mistake and pissed off every dinosaur scientist in the country. And they were, you know, I had to sit down and write like 50 personal letters of apology saying, I didn't know that was not a good thing to do. Sorry. And ended up selling it to somebody else because we couldn't get any traction at all after that horrible screw up. And I don't know, you know, when we first did GURPS, it had rules numbers in it like Starfleet Battles. And Steve Jackson called me up and said, have you never actually seen a role-playing game? I said, well, no. And he said, role players don't like rule numbers. Chapters, fine, but anything below that, no. No rule numbers. And I go, how do you organize the game? And he said, well, they figured out, but they hate rule numbers. So we had to go through and take all the rule numbers out and all the references to rule numbers to put references to page numbers. But when you're getting into a whole new thing, like when we first got into Facebook, Gene wouldn't let me post in Facebook for like 3 years because I didn't understand the culture. And she was so terrified that I was going to go in there and piss off the entire Facebook nation, 2.7 billion people, by just saying one wacky Steve Cole-ism. So I don't know how train games work, but I think Gene's got this one cleaned up to where nothing I did to Jay's game is going to piss off the train game people. But I also can't have Jay pissing off Paramount.
Oh, agreed.
But we'll make sure it's there. And Paul, if you will, when you see it go up, you send Gene an email and tell her that I promised you a coupon for a free copy.
Okay.
And, you know, you have done such a great job for me that that's the least I can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to hang up in about 3 seconds and let you get back to your job.
Okay, great.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted people to know.
No problem. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well.
Okay, y'all have fun. Maybe we'll do this for on schedule sometime soon.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Talk to y'all later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was a sidetrack, which is a pleasant one at that. Actually, the funny part, I was concerned that was another one of those whacked people from like last week. But I'm glad I took the chance, and it was actually Steve Cole, because I'm sure everybody here wishes Steve the best and glad to hear that he's doing so well. And of course, get a little I'm glad he gave a little comment on Merchants of the Federation. And to me, that sounds like something fun. I've played a few of the train games. I definitely have done that. I played that. I played the deck building games. I've played resource management games. All these kinds of different games that I've played, because Lord knows that's one thing about gamers of winter and gamers of summer. Not as I've pointed out before, that convention, mini convention, kind of almost, it's almost, if you really look at it, I mean, objectively, it's more of a gaming group that meets twice a year. I'm sure Doug doesn't make a lot on it, but I'm sure one of the reasons why he continues to do it is because he gets all these people that he likes, that he, you know, he considers a lot of times his friends, and gets them together, and we all pitch in. So at the very least, he's not hung out to dry. He doesn't lose money on it. You know, we all pitch in to pay for the venue, and also he might make some money, given that he gets the Dungeons and Dragons people in, Greyhawk, I think it's Greyhawk, and you know they have a huge group that comes, and they usually have lots of fun. It's always good to see them there. I've never been involved with them, and I don't plan to. But you know, otherwise we play all kinds of games from Terraforming Mars to, of course, Puerto Rico. I love that game. Through the Ages. That's the game I was thinking of. Through the Ages. Every once in a while they get what's the one? I forget. There's this one really long ass game that it could take 6 hours. Like, okay, people come up and complain, oh, Starfield Battles is so long. It takes so long to play, you know, play a game. It's like, you haven't played some of these other games, have you? You know, because Titan, you know, I get to play Titan every once in a while. You know, all these kind of games, all these kinds of different games, you know, and Titan is one of those ones that actually has some tactics involved in it. And that's one of the reasons why I like to play, because, and actually I can get other people playing it, because it includes a little bit of tactics when you get to the tactical board, when you have the monsters in the same terrain, you know, the same hex. And then you have to fight it out, which is kind of cool, you know. And it gets me a little bit of those tactics fix. But and every once in a while, I get someone that actually wants to play like Federation Commander or Starfleet Battles. Well, not necessarily Starfleet Battles, but Federation Commander is usually one that I get to play every once in a while, which is always awesome. But moving forward on the tactics discussion, but yeah, so as Steve Cole mentioned, I was able to use the pseudos very effectively, and it turned out quite well because of since he used up all his phaser G's on those pseudos, I got to do more damage to him. Now, of course, the thing is, he still hasn't conceded, and I can understand that. Of course, I looked at the number of power. He's really getting low on power. I think he has like 14 points of power this is an LDR. He has no ESGs. The ESGs are gone. I wiped them out early on in the game. Now, one thing I did not do. I learned my lesson from earlier on in the game. Early on in the game, I did something stupid. I approached him. I went in. And I went, oh, good. If I just get to range one, I could really blast them. And because I went for range one, I gave him my weak shield, and he blasted through and really did a lot of hurt on me. If I would let it go, and I would hit him at right range two and then turned, I would have still done a little less damage to him, but he wouldn't done nearly as much damage to me, and I would be so far ahead that he would have to concede by now, at least in my mind. He might not have, but I think I would have been at least farther ahead. Now, so it tells you that when it comes to tactics overall, the one thing to always keep in mind is position. And this is one thing that beginners always have an issue with. From the many, many times I've actually taught people to play. Which is, they get to the end of the, they go running after their opponent, they fire the weapons, and then they don't know what to do. Because the one thing you always have, always as part of playing SFB or Federation Commander, either one, and I'm sure there's other, you know, tactical board games like that, you know, whether it's spaceships or it's other things, is you have to think about what happens afterwards. Are you going to go in, hit him hard, and then after you hit him hard, you're going to then go back, and then he's going to hit you harder? That's a lose scenario. You think you're winning because you hit first. No. You lose because he comes back, hits you harder, does more damage, and you have less of a ship left over to win. So the whole idea is to maximize your offensive potential, you know, the amount of damage you do to him, and minimize the amount of damage he does to you. So that's one of the things to always that you always have to keep in mind. So you have to keep in mind, okay, what's going to happen next? What are you going to do after you do a battle pass? What are you going to do? Or more importantly, what is your opponent going to do? Because realize one thing. If you fire everything at your opponent and it's early on in the turn, what is he going to do? What he's going to do is he's going to follow your butt. Now, especially if you fired everything and he knows you fired everything, and he can have a down shield facing you and you can't do anything against him. Now, that was the funny part, is that in that turn, there were all this action happened. He tried to do a hit and run raid on me. Then I told him, I was like, dude, question, are you dropping your shield number 5? And he said, no. Well, then you can't do a hit and run raid because of you're trying to do a hit and run raid against me on a shield. My down shield is facing you. Your non-down shield is facing me. Because he thought that I was on shield number 5. On the next impulse. Because I hit him just perfectly so that I got on shield number 6. But the next impulse, I move forward. He's on my shield number, I'm on his shield number 5. Or somehow I ended up on shield number 5. I think, I know. I went from straight, then I side slipped in, is what I did. And my down shield was facing him, but I was facing his shield number 5. So I wasn't going to fire at him because of the shield number, I was facing shield number 5. So I hadn't crossed that border into shield number 6. Yeah, that's it. He tried to do a hit and run raid because I had my down shield facing him. He had fired all his weapons at me. But my shield number 6, sorry, shield number 2, because that's the one he blasted down. Shield number 2, which he had blasted down earlier in the turn, it was facing him, but it was against it. It was against his shield number 5. So that was cool, shield number 5. And I pointed it out and I was like, oh, yeah, you can't do that. It's like, yeah, can't do that. So then he said, okay, cancel that. It's like, yeah, you have to. So, but anyway, then we both run away. I goofed. One thing I goofed up. One thing to always keep in mind, like, this is one of those things that it's a reminder when you're playing, actually, and particularly online. And this is the issue I ran into myself. It's not a tactics thing, but it's a little one of those tips. And that is, if your opponent has lots of shuttles out, find out which ones you have identified as suicide shuttles. Because I did something goofy. I was going right. I turned towards these shuttles. I figured, okay, I'll pass right by them before the end of the turn. Because I'm pretty sure they've already fired their weapons. I looked and it's like they haven't fired their weapons. But more importantly, I checked to see, okay, I went, before I actually ran over these things, I went, you know what I really should check? I should check to see if these have been identified. So right before after I turned and made my move, I then went and looked to see, okay, what kind are these? And they said, oh, they're a suicide shuttle. And I went, oh, crap. Because I was about to overrun them. Fortunately, I had phasers so I could blast them down, but I didn't want to waste. If I would have waited and gone closer to the other shuttle, there's another two shuttles, and gone near them who had already fired, I could have gone around the suicide shuttles and not wasted my fire on them, you know. So, which is, you know, power at this point is at a premium, because the thing is, he's running around at a pretty good clip. He now will not have that issue anymore, because of, I'm pretty sure he's considered crippled at this point. I have to double check his numbers, but I'm pretty sure he's considered crippled, which means he doesn't have to pay for life support. He still has to pay for shields, but he doesn't have to pay for life support. But he has to pay for active fire control, so he saves 1 point of power. But even that's okay. That's 3 points of power out of 14. Then he has 11 points of power left. Now, he's not going to be moving very fast. He might be moving speed 10 up. Actually, I know at the beginning of the turn, he's definitely going to be moving speed 10. That's definitive, because we already moved on to from the big turn onto the turn afterwards. Turn afterwards, what I did, he, you know, did a zero speed, and then what happened is that because he was facing the wall, so he had to face away from it. I thought he was going to face away, you know, face towards me and then fire, which he didn't. He waited for me. He guessed my brick was going to be the shield number 3, because it was going to fire as soon as possible. And so he waited until my shield number 4 was facing, and then he fired, and then he missed. which is, for him, it was kind of sucky. But, you know, it happens. And then, the only thing I regret about that turn where I had him nailed by the plasmas is that I had two suicide shuttles. I should have launched one on impulse 30, the other one on impulse 32, because I only had one shuttle bay. And so the shuttles weren't nearly as, well, it didn't change. Actually, it did change the closest because of the position of the ship was a little farther away. So I launched on impulse 31 and impulse 1 of the next turn. So if I would have done it the opposite way, it would have been a little bit, but it's not that they would have been a little bit closer, but also would have saved me 1 point of power, because I didn't have to keep holding that suicide shuttle. But anyhow, so, you know, we're at the end of impulse 8. We're both pretty low on weapons. We got enough weapons to still kill each other. Obviously, he's probably going to focus on reloading his phaser Gs. But here's the one thing. I've got speed on him. This is where I have to decide what I'm going to do. Which is, at the moment, I did charge both my S's. I could actually continue charging them. I have a choice. I either can approach him, and so, because he's going to, I figure he's going to go slow, and he's going to charge his phasers. I don't think he's going to charge his disruptor, because I think that'd be a waste of power. Power efficiency is what he wants, because he has 5 points of power. 5 points of power, he can charge all his phasers, and then he's got 3 points to that. So that makes eight total points of power out of his 16. Now, two-thirds, that's 6 times 3.5, so he can go with speed 9 at the moment. So his max speed, if he does all of that next turn, is going to be speed 10. Now, this assumes that he doesn't try to charge his batteries. I'm not sure if he has any batteries anymore. I think I blew them all the way. I still have batteries. He doesn't. So, should be interesting to see how that all turns out. And I recorded the video. Actually, I've got to listen to that video. Just to let you know, I'm going to have a whole video of the whole game now. And I've got, I'm talking through it. So the first part, I think I had an excellent commentary. Tuesday, my commentary, I think, really was lackluster. And I'm half thinking of doing after I edit it is I might voice the whole thing all over again. So it's going to take me quite a bit of time to get through editing all of that because of all of, I have to basically listen to the video all over again. And then I have to modify it, edit it, and all that kind of thing. So it's going to be another, I figure, 6 hours of work, if not longer, to get it all done, possibly 10 hours of work to get one video up, you know. And that's because I have to listen to the video all over again. This is the one thing that my dear sweet Patient Zero on the YouTube, the comment on the YouTube live feed that he's complaining about, oh, you don't have the videos up. It's like, dude, you know how much work that is. I've got a job. I don't have 10 hours to spend, you know, to spend for one video. Especially if in this case, I have to spend the additional time because I think I screwed up on the commentary on the video. You know, I understand that if you're just recording and then rebroadcasting what you did as a live recording, which is what I like to do, then you're good. So, anyhow, I think we will end it with that tonight. It was wonderful to have Steve Cole show up and have a little talk with us. And, of course, we had a nice little discussion about tactics when it comes to my game that I was playing on Tuesday. So, hopefully, I will definitely tell you guys when the video is up. It will be on the not this video feed, but I'll hopefully post a link to it on this video feed for the other YouTube channel. Where I do all my SFB stuff, all my SFB online stuff, and I'm hoping to, you know, get some good audio videos over there. Okay, and with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.